Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be making us part of your day, thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Colin Cowherd. Oh, I love social media. Don't you love social media? Love, love, love. Okay, so in the 5 minutes in which I had a chance to take a sip of coffee, feels yummy. Go to the restroom, take another sip of coffee, and sit down on the old Twitter machine. Doug Gottlieb filling in for Colin. Colin is back tomorrow. Anyway. Mike Silver tweets out, one possible solution for the Rodgers-Packers stalemate, the team could agree to lop off the final 2 years of his contract and theoretically not franchise him after the season, set up a last-dance scenario. Not likely, but maybe the Packers decide 1 year is better than none. And I tease Mike Silver about being the burner account for Aaron Rodgers. They're obviously very close, going back to his days of covering him when he was a Cal. Now Mike Silver works for the Washington Redskins. It's pretty interesting, though, that like all of these scenarios, again, remember, you're the Packers. Okay. What we do is we look at all of these, scenarios, all of them, and we're like, what's best for the player? Like at the end of the day, especially the Packers, who the only people they answer to are the fans. Right? Not really, but okay, they have that inner circle, and no one really knows how it works. I understand the money is all printed out there, but it's a really weird way of doing business. It's cool because everybody feels like they have a... So let me get this. So I want you to imagine you're in the Packers organization, and Aaron Rodgers' camp's like, you know, what you could do, you want to make Aaron happy, is cut off the last 2 years of his contract so he's a free agent, unrestricted at the end of this year, and then we'll come back and play football. Okay, wait, what? Huh? Like, look, I understand that the contract at that point in time doesn't benefit Aaron Rodgers as much, you know, that it becomes kind of a pro-team deal. But you signed the contract. Right? The next 2 years. So here's how it worked, okay? He got upfront money. He got $66 million in his first year. It made him the highest paid player in the league. He got paid all upfront basically the first 3 years. So the cap hit was 20.9, 29.6, 21.6. This year, $37 million cap hit. He's going to get $21 million. Over the first 4 years of the contract, he will receive $125.298 million. Okay, let's think about what that is, okay? And a contract that was signed 4 years ago, he's going to make just less than $40 million guaranteed in the first 3 years. The next 2 years, he'll make $25.5 million guaranteed. So what teams do is like, hey, we got to manage the cap, the dead cap. There's only 17.2 if we want to get out of the Aaron Rodgers business at the end of this year, if we want to cut him. You have a guy under contract. Even if he doesn't want to play for you anymore, if he plays this year and he wants to go somewhere else and you get the right offer, you can trade him. Or we can do what the Patriots did, which is, you know, what we should do is let's just cut off the last 2 years. Why would you do that? You're negotiating against yourself. Aaron Rodgers has no leverage other than not playing, and not playing means he has to pay fines or retire. So he has no leverage. And the only leverage you have is, hey, we don't just own your rights this year. We own it for the next 2 years after that. And we would love to redo your deal to extend you. You don't want that? Fine. That's okay. You don't want to. It's okay. We have a contract. I don't really understand, because you'll get media members who will fight and go like, well, players don't have guaranteed contracts. Yes, he does. He has a contract. He's guaranteed to make $125.298 million for the first 4 years. He's going to get every penny of that. And the only thing the Packers get in return is they still own his rights the next 2 years. And if he's on the team, it's an $11.5 million signing bonus, $25 million in base salary. And the following year, $25 million in base salary. Right? That's the contract. We started with, especially NFL players' contracts, to treat them like they're the Bible or they're the Constitution. Like we'll only talk about the part that works for us. You're like, well, you know, you got that guaranteed money up front, so cut off the last two years. Like, no. No, it doesn't work that way. That is not the way it works. Well, see, I really like this passage from the Bible. Okay, there's other passages in the Bible which are not as forgiving towards a lot of people. Yeah, I don't pay attention to those. I don't like those. I don't follow those. Okay. Well, contracts are kind of different, because once you sign it, it's sort of ironclad. It goes through legal upon legal. It has to be approved by the NFL and the NFLPA, and there has to be specific wording. And like, I just, again, and this is also the mistake of Aaron Rodgers turning it personal. You turn it personal and they're like, you know what? I was thinking about acquiescing and maybe cutting off a year or two of that contract. But then he basically called me an a-hole and said, this is about people. And he's saying he doesn't like me as people. Like, why would I do that? And remember, there's no owner going, hey, you guys, let's work this thing out. Let's trade away Jordan Love. No, it's just those guys. And Aaron is turning into me against them. And now they're being asked to do him a solid. Hey, man, do me a solid. Cut off those last 2 years of contract, which are your only leverage in not only getting me here, keeping me here, but the potential of trading me from here. No. And I'm not saying this because I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan. I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. But just a reality to it. Just a reality to it. In our business, I don't know how long Colin's under contract, but Colin is the Aaron Rodgers of this business. He's, you know, right? He's the best. I think I'm really good at what I do. Colin's the best. At just this craft, he's great. Imagine him going to Fox and going, first leaking out to Fox and saying like, yeah, all those guys, all those executives, they're idiots. They don't know what they're doing. They're bringing in Gottlieb to replace me, or they're bringing in, you know, Jason McIntyre and the Odd Couple. And, you know, they're this, they're that, the other thing. Then he goes, you know, what you could do is at the end of this year, make me a free agent and then maybe I'll come back. Like, no. If you didn't like the terms of the contract, here's something you could have done. Not sign the contract. That's kind of it. But we live in this fantasy society. Like, it's no different. Is college ridiculously expensive? Of course. I have two 15-year-old daughters. In a couple of years, hopefully they'll be getting ready for college. And whatever that money we have saved up, it ain't going to be enough. So do I think something needs to be done to make it more reasonable? Yes. The idea of wiping off everybody's debt, like, okay, well, what about the people who just finished up paying off their debt? You know? If you didn't like the terms of the deal, you do have an option of not agreeing to the deal. God bless Dak Prescott, right? Dak Prescott, and I understand everything was different with him because he was under a fourth year. He was a fourth round draft pick. And there was a limit to what they could pay him. But Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, they just played out their contracts. Again, I know they're both fourth round picks. It's different. Played out their contract and said, you know, I want guaranteed money. I want a short-term deal. Now, the downside to that is for Kirk Cousins, now he got a second deal, is in whatever the final year of it is, there's a chance that you don't get, you don't have that, you don't get paid walking out the door. You don't get the cushion of having additional years. But hey, you know what they could do? All of these stories, all of them. You know, Florio tweeted out, well, there's a nuclear option July 2nd. If he wants to say he doesn't want to play because of COVID, he doesn't have to. Like, then he'd keep his money. Yeah, but you're going to sit out because of COVID, collect money, and then try and tell the world it's not about money? Come on. Plus, when you come back, your contract reinstates as it was previously constructed. There's no nuclear option for it. All of these are somebody in Aaron Rodgers' camp floating out things because they know the inevitability of he's going to play, he's still going to be under contract for this and two more seasons. And however they work it out, they'll have to work it out at the end of this year. Okay. Coming up next. Now that the 2021 season is set for Aaron Rodgers, could Deshaun Watson be traded? I'll tell you next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. You know, it's interesting. There's all this talk now about conferences and realignment. I saw some on social media where Jay Billis is like, hey, the ACC should sit there and go like, hey, we got these natural rivalries. Why don't we merge with the SEC? Huh? What? I don't, outside of Clemson and Florida State, where is the value there? And his point is, and it's a good one, it's like basically you're forming your own new NCAA, really, right? You're the new NFL. Hey, but the ACC, where is the value there? I love Virginia Tech. That program has fallen. I don't know if it's going to be able in the ACC to get back where it rightfully belongs. Florida State, again, we'll see. Not there. But Florida State's still Florida State. I mean, Bobby Bowden, we heard Friday, he has some terminal illness. I mean, people forget, Bobby Bowden, 14 straight years they finished in the top five in one poll or another. Like, that was a dominant football program. And Clemson's obviously been dominant. And you have Miami as a name, but look, the SEC, the part that those guys like is, yeah, we'll let Oklahoma and Texas in because they'll bring value to it. But where else does, outside of Clemson, no one else brings value? And if we have to add the entire ACC, like, yeah, no, why? Because now all those schools can say, hey, if you want to play big time football in the state of Texas, you can only go to one league. Before, you're Texas A&M, and Texas A&M could say, hey, we're the only league in the SEC. We're the only Texas school in the SEC. The reason Texas A&M is so ticked is now they can't say that. There's literally, outside of if your parent went to A&M, why would you choose A&M over Texas? Or even over LSU or Arkansas? Because on a yearly basis, you're going to play in Texas. Kids want to play generally closer to home, best level competition, best chance to play right away. So, you know, it's like Florida's the only SEC team in the state of Florida. Do you think they're going to go, hey, you know what we should do? Let's add Florida State, who's floundering right now. Let's add Miami right now and say, hey, you can play in the SEC too. No, not doing that. I think Georgia's sitting there going, you know what we should do? You know, we can tell all these recruits, we're the only school in the state of Georgia. If you're in Georgia, which is a great high school football state, you can play at Georgia. They're already, you have to battle Clemson for every kid and Florida. You think they want to battle Georgia Tech? You think you want to let some of these other programs in there? Or Clemson even more? Like, now at least you can say to Clemson, like, hey, Clemson, they can play whomever they want, but they got to play in that ACC. They got to play Wake Forest and Duke and NC State. Right. Or you can come to Georgia where you play Florida, where you play Auburn every year, the oldest rivalry in the South. You know, where you'll play Alabama just to get to just win a SEC championship. Now you'll play Texas and Oklahoma. You can't do that anywhere else. Again, this is one of those, it sounds like a good idea until the reality of it is, why will it always stay kind of an exclusive club? Hey, we're good at 16. It's a lot of teams. It's a lot to manage. We don't just be, more is not always more. But the value is in the, what schools can bring eyeballs to a TV set or to your phone. And if the answer is not you, I mean, how happy is Mississippi State that they're just kind of clinging on here, that they're just an original SEC? Otherwise, they're gone. It's truth. You know, Vandy gives them some academic repute, but not much in terms of sports. Kentucky gives them basketball. Legitimacy in basketball. All right, we'll get to John Middlecoff in a second, find out what he thinks happened to Deshaun Watson, what he thinks of the latest Aaron Rodgers news. First, here's Ryan Bershinger with news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So, Doug, we've got more coming out of the Packers shareholders meeting, which, of course, is being held in Green Bay, where all 84 million owners of the Green Bay Packers are gathered and listening into Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst addressing the fans to kick off the season. So we got some more quotes here from Mark Murphy talking about Aaron Rodgers coming back. He's saying, well, first off, on whether or not he knows if Aaron Rodgers will report to training camp on time, he very simply says, no, I don't. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But he acknowledges that both fans are frustrated by the Aaron Rodgers situation, then called it, quote, a pox on both houses, us and Aaron. He said he was pleasantly surprised there wasn't more booing either directed at the team or Rodgers. It's all according to Rob Domofsky. So, Doug, I have a question for you. Do you feel like Packers fans should kind of be angry at Aaron Rodgers over these last couple months because of everything that's been going on and how it's sent the franchise into such a sort of disarray over the last month or two? And do you think they're just going to kind of just forgive and forget and let go as long as he's playing this season and all?
Yes, as long as he plays and plays well, they will not forget. They will forget. Mm. If he doesn't play well, they will not forget. See, Aaron Rodgers, had you been there at OTAs, none of this would have happened. But yeah, they have every right to, like, look, he didn't play well down the stretch there against the Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
The defense, which has been, again, realigned, reimagined, new coordinator, got rid of some dudes, whatever. Like, the defense actually got three turnovers against Tom Brady in the second half.
Right.
Now, there was a hole that was dug by that defense. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the offense didn't come through. Like, I think people in Green Bay understand on some levels that, you know, who they're running, who they're managed by. And I'm sure there's, like, you got to handle these personalities a little bit better. But for the most part, like, they don't care. Hey, we were a play away from going to the Super Bowl and maybe winning the whole damn thing. Figure it out, Aaron. Get back into camp. I would guess they tire on the quarterback retirement thing out of, you know, Brett Favre wore him down.
Now, the last week of July is one of my favorite times in the sports calendar, and that's because it's MLB trade deadline time. We got the trade deadline coming up on Friday, July 30th. It's typically the 31st, but because that fell on a Saturday, apparently they don't really want to work on a Saturday, so it will be the 30th instead. And, of course, there's only one deadline this year, no waiver trade period in August or anything, just one deadline. So a couple major rumors coming out. We're starting to get the hot stove going on this Monday. Byron Buxton, its extension talks have ceased with the Minnesota Twins. He might be moved. The Twins have also are reportedly shopping Jose Berríos. The Dodgers and Padres are among those that have checked in, according to John Paul Morosi. And we've got some trade odds, according to betonline.com. Now, Max Scherzer is somebody who is probably the biggest fish to acquire at this deadline. The Mets are currently seen as the favorites to land Scherzer at 3-1.
In division, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's why that surprises me, to see them as the favorites. The Mets are also the favorites to land Chris Bryant at 2-1. Now, according to a report, apparently the Mets are more interested in just getting rental pieces, and technically Max Scherzer is a rental, but he's also thrown around
Max
the idea
Scherzer.
Of yeah. Yeah, exactly, and he would like to get an extension with wherever he lands.
Okay, so what's the question?
The question is, does Max Scherzer go in the division? Because you have the Dodgers at 7-2, Brewers 15-4, Yankees 9-2, Astros 5-1. Starting pitching market is going to be rather intense at this deadline. Where do you see Max Scherzer ending up?
I mean, I think the Dodgers are going to add some back end of the bullpen, but that's the kind of guy that I see going there, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Yu Darvish didn't work out for them a couple years ago, but I mean, look, last year's, they didn't even have a victory parade for last year's World Series.
No.
I think Scherzer's the type of guy ends up with the Dodgers more than the Mets. Mm-hmm. The problem is the Dodgers are kind of charged the Dodger tax, you know, which, you know, because everyone knows how financially successful they are, how good their farm system is, that you will ask for one and a half times what you'd ask for anybody else of the Dodgers.
Right.
That said, you'd probably do the same thing with the Mets because they're in division. Mm-hmm. I think it's more likely he becomes a Dodger.
Lastly here, we've been keeping in track with the Olympics with every herd line so far today. History was made in the Olympics yesterday as Heidi Lynn Diaz of the Philippines became the first person ever from the Philippines to win a gold medal in their 97-year Olympic history in the 55-kilogram weightlifting. 55-kilogram awesome. Weightlifting set an Olympic record with 228 kilograms. So congratulations to the Philippines, their first ever gold medal in the Olympics.
Huh. Do you know how many people live in the Philippines?
Oh, geez. It's a huge population. Tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions.
Boy, you want to take a guess?
200 million? Let's see.
That's kind of big. 108 million, okay. 108.1 million people.
Yeah, that's gigantic.
There are 7,640 islands.
Wow.
Like, can you imagine that? Like, we struggle to remember, like, the names of the states and how they're placed. Like, how many islands do you have to remember if you grew up going to school in the Philippines? And that's Ryan Burschinger with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
John Middlecoff joins us. Three and Out is the podcast. I kind of dig this handball thing, but it does feel like water polo for dudes that don't want to get into the banana hammocks and the pool.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. I'm a traditional guy, honestly. Like, I think we've jumped the shark a little bit with adding things. I'm a golf guy, but golf should not be in the Olympics. Soccer, I'm not really feeling it. Like, I don't know about you. You know, Summer Olympics, swimming, all the track and field. Like, I was good with that. Like, that you know, the gymnastics. There's just too much stuff going on.
Well, I mean, now we're going to 3-on-3 basketball.
I'm not trying to be negative Nancy here.
No. We're going to 3-on-3 basketball. Like, really? How come? Yeah, why do we have 3-on-3? We don't have 1-on-1. And if we're going to have, like, archery and all these shooting stuff, like, well, why not have shooting games or a horse? I'm the Olympic horse champion. Yes, I do think the Olympics jumped the shark a long time ago. They're still fun. Sport that you find yourself watching that you're like, God, I don't even want to tell anybody I'm watching this.
Well, I'll be completely honest. I haven't watched really a second. I watched a little bit of volleyball yesterday, but I mean, if it's on, you know, whether it's ping pong and stuff like, you know, I'll watch the stupidest sports if there's literally nothing else on.
The ping pong's awesome because now you start to, like, I'm texting all my buddies, like, here's the real ping pong rules. Okay. You can't be swinging your racket forward. Your paddle forward before you hit the ball. You have to watch how the real ping pong dudes do it. I mean, really?
Could you last multiple hits in a volley against, like, the elite guy, do you think?
Multiple hits?
Yeah, I think not just one.
Yeah. I couldn't win. I mean, I have no chance of winning.
No. Could you last five hits?
On a rally? Know, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, like, rally, like... Yeah, ping pong? With ping pong rally on?
With the gold
ping
medal.
Ping pong rally on?
At 90 miles an hour. I don't know.
No, but they don't hit it 90 miles an hour every time. They just, when they're going to finish you off, that's what they do. It's not like Forrest Gump where they're back there just, it's not like Forrest Gump where they're just wailing away at each other. It is a movie. John Middlecoff joining us here. I like watching ping pong. I do. I don't. There are some of these rules with games of sports, which I don't really know the rules to as all. When I'm like, seemed like a foul. Okay, let's start with Aaron Rodgers. Ian Rappaport says Rodgers indicated to people close to him that he plans to play for Green Bay this season. Many factors at play, but GM Brian Gutekunst say he's hopeful for a positive outcome. That was Ian Rappaport. David Bakhtiari then, quote, retweets it. Wow, guess we aren't close people at Aaron Rodgers 12. What happens with Aaron Rodgers in the next week?
Well, I think it's just it's a money game. I mean, he makes $37 million this year. There are 17 games, and he's still making over $2 million a game. In the history of America, no one's ever turned down $37 million for 6 months' work. So there was no chance he was ever retiring. And I think it's pretty clear that, I mean, not that we all didn't know, his leverage, he was somewhat stuck this year, you know, and it was a little bizarre, and you and I had talked about it. Maybe he could have got something done if he would have really, like, pedal to the metal right after the season ended. But he kind of came out of left field right around the draft, right? You could argue if he would have started, like, April 1st and gave 4 weeks, who knows? Probably still not traded, but you never know. But it was too late, and you're not going to trade him now. So he's going to play. It kind of makes sense, like those guys tweeting pictures of the last dance, like this is their last dance. But I saw you know, going back with, like, Mike Silver on Twitter. The Packers, you know, I mean, in theory, this could be his last year, but what if they're good again? You know,
well, that's where Silver's like, well, you know, they could do lop off the 2 years. Like, hey, you know what we should do? We have leverage and we have the ability to own his rights for 2 more years or trade him or whatever. You know what we're going to do? Since he made it personal and all, basically called us all jerks and idiots. Let's take off those last 2 years of contract just because, like, why would they do that? We're paying you $37 million. Like, I don't see them doing that.
I think some stuff with the NFL kind of takes on a life of its own on social media. Like Devontae Adams last week, you know, it came out that he had turned down the contract and it made sense, right? He's comparing himself. I'm the best wide receiver in the league. Hopkins did this weird contract that was short term, but they basically gave him $25 million a year for 2 straight years guaranteed. Like, that's the number I want to go off of. And then everyone's like, oh, he's going to hit free agency. When does a guy like Devontae Adams ever hit free agency? He never does. So if they did, quote unquote, choose to get rid of those two guys, can you imagine the haul they would get for Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers? That would happen next year. They would franchise and tag and trade Devontae and trade Aaron Rodgers, but still, like, I think we are a long way away from all that happening, especially because if these guys show up, they're two of, I mean, Aaron was the reigning MVP. Devontae's clearly one of the best non-quarterbacks in the league. They're going to be really good. Who's to say, like, if a couple things go right, they could beat the Bucks and they're in the Super Bowl and they win a Super Bowl? You know, I mean, we've seen crazier. So I think everything's on the table right now beside him not playing for the Packers, which clearly he's going to do.
Okay, help me out with this. Tom Brady, he basically called other teams idiots for a couple of teams for passing on him, and he likened himself to Wayne Gretzky and Michael Jordan. This is a new Tom Brady, right? And you and I know it's like what people don't know. Bill Belichick has a great personality with players. Otherwise, forget about what he does in the media. None of that matters. What you do with the players, they wouldn't buy in unless they bought into him as a guy. And Tom Brady's aw, gee, shucks thing, this is the real Tom Brady. That said, like, how did we get to Tom Brady becoming like a diva wide receiver talking about himself this much?
Well, I think for the first time last year, right, he'd never hit free agency in his entire life. I mean, he'd spent 20-plus years on the one team. And finally, he is available, and he's the most accomplished player in the history probably of, you know, maybe there's been some NBA players, but in football, for sure, that's ever been available and still playing pretty well, even though he was coming off. Listen, I don't quite blame the Patriots. Like, I might have shorted him too. But in his mind, like, he could still really play. And let's face it, a lot of teams did not want him. The Niners, who just were coming off a Super Bowl, said, we're going to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? The Raiders were, I've heard, were kind of lukewarm on him. Like, they chose Derek Carr over him. Clearly, the Tennessee Titans, and listen, Tannehill had a good year, but, like, they chose Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady. And then Tom Brady goes and he wins the Super Bowl. Like, I kind of understand it. You're right, though. We never hear him talk like it. Though, you know, this is the way normal, I would say in any walk of life, competitive people talk. They just don't always do it publicly. So, but he kind of validated it. Like, these guys legitimately told me, no, we're not that interested. No, we're going to stick with our guy. Like, that happened. It legitimately happened. And then he won the Super Bowl for a team that hadn't made the playoffs in 12 years. Like it really is pretty crazy the way it all worked out, right?
I mean,
they got him,
is.
And they didn't even pay him that much. We talk about Dak Prescott; he's making $40 million a year. Tom's making 25. They got Tom Brady for $25 million.
Okay, Deshaun Watson. Now he's showing up, so he's basically doing the Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I don't get fined. I mean, the first thing, though, when I hear trade rumors and at least an outrageous price tag being asked and he's there, it does signify to me, and I don't know, okay? I don't profess to know at all what happened with all the masseuses, but I don't think it would be this public that he's out there and now at new trade demands unless there was the feeling that these lawsuits weren't going to make.
I talked to someone, I wouldn't say in the know, but he's part of a team that would be very interested. And they obviously, you know, they have done a ton of due diligence as much as humanly possible. There's only, you get to a point where, you know, the cops aren't going to tell you everything. But they are feeling more and more comfortable if it ever does. Again, these have to go away. I could not, and I have a hard time seeing general managers with this stuff up in the air. Once it becomes whatever, if there's a settlement, if it goes away, then it'd be free game. But right now, when we see like the rumors that of all the picks he would go for, like I'm sorry, but when this is hanging over his head, like it's like you buying a house in a seller's market, and usually quarterbacks, you got to waive contingencies, you got to overpay, it's part of the deal. But when you have a legal situation like this, even if you feel pretty comfortable that it's going to go away, until it goes away, how could you possibly pay three ones and a two for just something that, like, all of a sudden he's on your team, and then it turns out, well, there was that one issue that might have been a little more shady than we thought, but the others are not as crazy. Like, that would be a disaster. Like, if I was the Texans right now, I would want to rid my hands of it and get, you know, 100% value. But if I was the other team, if I was going to trade for him now, which I still think a lot of owners would probably be a little like, can't we just wait a little bit? Unless, you know, you could get him for 50 cents on the dollar, but why? What's the incentive for the Texans to do that? So I just think we're at a stalemate until it gets, you know, finality. And then he's just too talented of a player for there not to be, you know, multiple teams bidding, which will just naturally drive up the price.
How much different do we look at the Rams losing their starting running back before the season ever began?
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal because he is a really talented player, but he was banged up when he got hurt. I went and looked. I was like, you know, this guy had a good rookie season. Well, he had multiple injuries last year. So he to just assume that he was going to be some bell cow 17 games, we do that. And I did it when I was in the NFL. We do it, you know, talking about football. But, like, I still think that was a pretty big stretch. Now, they drafted him in the second round. You know, it's an injury that who knows, maybe he'll never be the same. You hope he comes back, but you never know. It is the one position, though, especially in that offense, right, the Shanahan zone running offense, that you should be able to replace him, right? Like if that was Jalen Ramsey or Cooper Kupp or one of their stalwarts, right, it'd be a massive blow. While it feels like a big blow on paper, to me, it's just a position where, I mean, didn't they remember the year they made a Super Bowl and Todd Gurley kind of fell off a cliff at the end of the season? Like C.J. Anderson off the scrap heap and boom, he was just starting running back in the playoffs. You know,
yes.
So it is the
yes, but that was a different offensive line. That was it. But they're trying to rebuild this offense and build it through him.
You can patchwork it with several guys, I guess is my point.
Last thing, Cowboys, Dak's back. Oh, he looks great. Tyron Smith, 308. Like you can see ab muscles on your starting left tackle. Here we are again with the, okay, I'm kind of in on the Cowboys thing, but the defense was completely made over. The Cowboys haven't really beaten a good team in two seasons. Where are you on the Cowboys as of, where are we, July, whatever day today is, July 26th?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, their offense should be elite. I mean, you just see some of the clips of CeeDee Lamb. I think there's a chance in like 5 or 6 years we'll go like, CeeDee Lamb lasted to pick 17. He should have gone like top seven. And obviously, Amari's solid, even though he's hurt right now. Gallup's a good player. You know, you hope Zeke can just show some signs of life. Like, let's face it, he's been a little shell of himself. But, you know, Pollard was really good. I mean, Dak's a solid player. Their offense is going to be fine. It's just defensively. And, okay, they get rid of Mike Nolan. You know, easy move. He was terrible. But Dan Quinn has not exactly been, you know, Buddy Ryan the last couple years. So just to assume, I know he's a name and people like the guy, but he has not been some schematic genius, right? I would say Atlanta definitely over the last, you know, since Kyle left, it felt like they were a joke on defense, right? And he is a defensive guy. When they hired him, he was Pete's defensive coordinator. So to assume that he's just going to come and fix everything. Now, the kid they drafted from Penn State, that guy's a baller.
Yep.
That guy can really
Micah
play.
Parsons.
But the other guys, the Lawrence, who they signed a couple years ago to a big deal, is underachieved. You know, they lost a corner last year in free agency to the Miami Dolphins. So it's just like, are they even that, you know, Van Der Esch gets hurt all the time. Jalen Smith, who Jerry was so proud of signing because of what he overcame.
Yeah, can't
but
really
does
play.
Have some deficiencies.
Yeah, can't
so
run.
It's like, you could argue, are just, like their offense is talented. Is their defense really that talented? Like, even if Dan Quinn does a good job, you know, do they really have the horses over there, especially in that division? Because that division with the Giants and definitely the football team, they have good defenses. So maybe you can neutralize the Cowboys a little bit and you can score on them. But the Cowboys, I don't think it's crazy to say they should compete to win that division if Dak plays 17 games.
John Middlecoff, 3 and Out is the podcast. I encourage you to download it as he will be getting ready to, I'm sure, tape another one here in the very near future. Thanks so much for joining us, John.
Later, bro. Have a good day.
All right, coming up next, best for last, including the best events to watch in the Olympics. That's next in The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening to the show. Thanks so much. Colin's back tomorrow. And you know what? We'll see if he can top, because there's just no way he'll be able to top. I've been watching and enjoying some of the Olympics. And with that, we got our best for last.
It's almost the end of the show, but that doesn't mean we're phoning it in. Nope, we grind to the very last segment. It's time for Best for Last.
Here's what I did. I put together a list of the sports in which the U.S. should clearly dominate. We don't always dominate, and I want explanations as to why. Okay? All right, let's get to number 10.
Number 10.
Surfing. I have no idea yet if we are going to dominate the quarterfinals in the men's shortboard. It is today at 3 o'clock. But we literally invented surfing, right? We did invent it. I know Portugal has those gigantic 1,000-meter-high waves or whatever. But in terms of the actual sport, we invented it. We should dominate it.
Number 9.
Shooting. Shooting. The mixed air pistol team competition is tonight. Smith & Wesson. That's an American product, right? And we have more gun guys. We have more guns in this country than anywhere else in the world. How can we not be better with our aim?
Number 8.
Right, for sport. Go do it for sport. You ever been to a gun range? I saw. Did you see we won? We had a woman who won the first. She won a Taekwondo medal. That's pretty awesome. I was gonna do Taekwondo. Fencing. We should be better at fencing. How many people put it down on their resume to try and get into a better school? Plus, I mean, if you grew up watching Princess Bride, you know what they do not know, which is you are not left-handed. I understand we don't have as much attention to the fencing detail, but plenty of kids need to get into schools, and fencing should be a way how.
Number 7.
Number 7, beach volleyball. Again, we invented the sport. And we're like, volleyball is cool, but what are we doing there this summer? Plus, you got all these good-looking people. Like, let's put them out on the beach. We can't invent things and get passed by them, can we?
number six.
Oh, number six is a good one. Is a really, really good one. Right? Really, really good one that I think we should be awesome at. We should be better at weightlifting. I mean, believe me, outside of the only people that tell you more about what they like to do than CrossFitters are vegans. So why can't all you CrossFitters, why can't you become Olympians? You guys make your workout of the day more than just Olympic lifts and running down a mile to the stop sign and back. Get yourself ready for the actual Olympic Games.
Number five.
I hope people understand that there's tongue planted firmly in cheek, right? Sailing. Are we good at sailing? Sailing is an Olympic sport. I mean, at some point in time, all these different adventurers sailed here, right? Ponce de Leon, he came here looking for the Fountain of Youth. Christopher Columbus may or may not have discovered America, which didn't really need to be discovered. I mean, we have to find a way to be better at sailing, since sailing was initially part of what launched us as a country.
Number four.
Archery. All you, I mean, I have so many friends in the Midwest and the South, and they are hunters, and they go bow hunting. You mean to tell me that we can't get a couple bow hunters that can knock a deer off from 1,000 yards out, they can't go win the gold medal? Of course we can. We're just not recruiting the right people.
Number three.
Synchronized diving. I'm fascinated by this sport. I mean, the perfection by which they... But I think what we need is we have so many cheerleaders that are incredible athletes, right? Especially the flyers as cheerleaders. But the movements and the holding of pauses, it's very gymnastics-like. Like, I think we should turn cheerleaders into divers. What do you guys think? Discuss amongst yourselves.
Number two.
Team handball. I love team handball. I'm a team handball guy. I just saw Spain win on a, I guess it's like a penalty throw from 7 meters out. I didn't know these. I have no idea the rules. I think there's a three-point line. I'm not sure. It appears to be very physical. It's like water polo, only you don't have to tread water. That fits me perfectly. We need to be better at team handball. This needs to be like a countrywide. Like, we need Joe Biden to go like, hey, I've been watching the Olympics, and I want to start a committee to find the best team handballers.
Number one.
Race walking. I don't know why they walk. I guess it's you always have to have 1 foot on the ground or whatever. Kaiser Soze would have been an incredible race walker, wouldn't he? Just dragging that foot until he stopped dragging the foot. How do we... Everybody, we've all been walking for a year, right? Remember during COVID, we couldn't do anything else. You go for a nightly walk. We got to be better at race walking. I don't know if we're not teaching form or fitness or function well enough, but the number one sport we should be better at as a country is race walking. That's the best for last. All right, well, Colin will be back tomorrow. It appears that Aaron Rodgers at some point is going to show up, although will he, won't he? I just don't see him having any leverage. He doesn't have any leverage. And it's not like Deshaun Watson where the team's not going to be good with him, not going to be good without him. Aaron Rodgers is a great team. We'll see if he shows up tomorrow. Colin will be back then. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.